Hey there, it's H.E.
and Tamika,
and you are listening to Behind This Woman podcast.
Two best friends spilling our own tea through candid conversations, lots of storytelling, and life perspective.
Together with our guests, we share what we know
and what we're currently learning
about life, love, growth, womanhood, and the process of pursuing your dreams.
So get ready to laugh, cry, ponder, and be inspired.
Now let's hop right in. Hey, hey guys, it's H.E. and welcome back to another episode of Behind This Woman podcast. Tamika, are you there, my dear?
I am here. Hey guys.
So before we dive into today's episode, I would like to stop and say thank you. Tamika and I were just talking about just like podcasting and just all the little obstacles and just different things. And we're just very thankful that you guys are deciding to listen to two besties bare our souls, simply put.
Right. We appreciate you.
Yes, we do. And we are seeing our download numbers increase every week. And it is a blessing. We're very thankful. And we are also seeing a spike of listeners coming from the motherland in Africa. That has increased. So big shout out to our sisters and brothers across the pond. We know you're listening. So hello to you. All right. So today we're going to be having a conversation about purpose, which if you are breathing, I am certain you've heard somebody's definition on what their version of purpose is. Whether you agree or not, it is a pretty popular topic now. It has not always been, but it is now. And we're going to be discussing it from what we learned in our late mentor, Dr. Miles and Rose book, Unleash Your Purpose. And if you listen to episode 20, when we did our tribute to him, we talked about all of the marvelous books that he's written. And this is yet another one that's really, really great. This was, I want to say this is the second book I read of his. I believe it was the second one.
Okay.
Several years ago, I was just discussing with Tamika before we got started. I like to write the date I finished a book in the book just so I can kind of know like where I was and what I was doing. And it says I read this book February 6, 2012. So that means that I am definitely due to read it again, because as I was going through it and looking at, you know, notes and things I've highlighted and just rereading some things, it was just like jumping out at me like fresh stuff, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I am in a completely, completely different space than I was then. So I'm sure I can get like a whole lot out of it if I read it again. So,
and guys, that's just a good practice to take. Like when you read, to just highlight and maybe take notes about things that stand out to you. And then when you come back years later to look at like what stood out to you then based on where you were at your life,
mm-hmm.
in your life then, and just like how you look at that differently or process it differently is always a good way to reflect on like how far you've come,
mm-hmm.
and your growth.
Yeah, I agree. And it completely changed my life. Like I remember after reading it, I felt like, you guys can't see me, but like I felt like I just walked around like this. Like just with my eyes just wide open, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I was just, oh my gosh, it was a little bit scary. And I say scary because, you know, you don't know what you don't know until you learn it.
Right.
And it's like, gosh, I'm thankful that I got this information, but man, was I ignorant.
Right.
Ignorant meaning lack of knowledge.
Right.
So man, was I like completely like blinded. Like what I've been doing.
Right. How did I miss this?
Right. Like, how did I miss it? So he explained purpose in a way that resonated very deeply with me. And that's why I said, I'm sure, you know, some of you have heard other people's definitions, and you really have to go with what, like I said, what resonates with you and what you connect with and what you can apply to your life. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And if you have not read any of Dr. Monroe's books, as we mentioned before, just do yourself a favor. Just go ahead and do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
And just read one. This will be a great one to start with. I usually recommend this first. It's like a foundational book on purpose. So, all righty. So we're going to go ahead and get started. We're just going to see where this lands, because, I mean, it is just so much information. We're just going to go for it, right?
Right. And it's such a broad topic.
It's so broad.
We could tackle this from many different angles, but we're going to use this book as kind of like the framework and just dive right in and just see where the conversation goes. So,
yes. And if we forget to mention it in the end, I'll go ahead and let you know that you can grab this book by visiting our website, www.behindthiswoman.com, and it's under the tab Books We Love. So, Tamika, I'm going to let you go first. Or maybe not. She's drinking water right now.
Okay.
Tell us one of the first things you learned, like, or something that stood out to you in this book.
One of my biggest takeaways was that in the book, he talks about principles of purpose, right? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of like the things that always are true about purpose. One of the principles that he shared in the book was purpose precedes production. And this was like a true game changer for me. Like when I read this and when he like explained it and expounded on it, I was just like, we're out here wondering if our existence matters, right? Like if we're valuable, mm-hmm. if we're needed. Mm-hmm. And it's like all of that was decided and determined before we even got here. Like before we were even. Okay. Let me. Because I want to do this justice. So I'm going to read it from the book. So it says, purpose, therefore, is the original intent in the mind of the creator that motivated him to create a particular item. It is the why that explains the reason for existence. Every product is a child of purpose. In other words, before any product is made, there is a purpose established in the mind of the manufacturer that gives conception to the idea that becomes the substance for the design and production of the product. Therefore, purpose precedes production.
That just gave me chill bumps.
So when you think about it, that's the principle, right? Purpose precedes production. If I make that personal, right? Mm-hmm. God is my manufacturer. Mm-hmm. He made me. I am a product of God. Mm-hmm. So me as a product of God, God designed and made me specifically for the purpose that he wanted me to fulfill. So before God made H.E., he said, okay,
oh boy,
here's the problem that I want H.E. to solve.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and this kind of really rolls into my other two points, but I'm just going to let this flow. So here's the problem that I want H.E. to solve. Here's what H.E. needs to solve that problem, mm-hmm. right? She needs to be analytical. She needs to be a people person. She needs to be compassionate. She needs to be detail oriented. Like all of these things that make up exactly who H.E. is, right? And all of those things are built into H.E. Mm-hmm. already. They exist. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have to do anything. She doesn't do anything extra to operate in them. She doesn't need to try to be like somebody else to operate in them. Mm-hmm. Those things were built inside of her mm-hmm. so that she can fulfill the purpose for which she was created. Purpose precedes production, and the design and the make of the product are aligned with your purpose.
Just think about anything that's made. Let's like bring it down a level. So let's think about an airplane. So before an airplane is created, created or built or whatever you want to say, it is a plan, it is a blueprint, a house, anything you can think of. It has a blueprint, a plan. This is what it's going to be. This is the problem it's going to solve. It's going to be able to have this many passengers. It's going to be able to go this fast. It's going to get people here in record time. It's going to solve the problem of people having to be on the road driving. It's going to solve the problem of people having to take boats to get overseas. They can now take a plane and get there 10 times faster. It's going to have this type of engine. It needs to be built this way. We're going to have it this color. The seats on the inside is going to be this way. It's going to recline back a little bit, but not too much. It's going to have this many seats on the plane so we can fit this, this, and this. The overhead compartments are going to be this big because it's designed to go this far. Like, as specific as that is.
Yep. And all of that is decided and determined before anything is made.
Before anything is made. So when you understand that and you put it into that perspective, it is disrespectful to compare yourself with somebody else.
Yep.
It is disrespectful. And this has to be a constant reminder. And
right.
I know we always talk about this, but it is deep. It is disrespectful because you were made a certain kind of way. So a Greyhound bus does not compare itself to an airplane.
Right.
Because you got two different kinds of people who want to be on a Greyhound bus versus someone who wants to be on an airplane.
Right.
They both serve people.
Right.
They just serve them in different capacities based on the need.
Right. And they have different functions. And your function determines your design.
Right. So the Greyhound bus
doesn't need wings.
Right.
Because it ain't flying.
Come on. Yes. We're going to try to tone this down, y'all. We are so crunk on this topic. But yes, that's it. The Greyhound. And if you saw a Greyhound bus with some wings, you're going to be like, what is going on? What is going on?
Like, what for what?
Right.
What it got wings? You know what I'm saying? Like, why does it have wings on it? Like, where is it flying? Nowhere.
Right.
Right. But it's just like, but the Greyhound is like, but I want to be like the plane. And God is like, but I designed you to be a bus.
Right.
Like, just be the best bus that you can be, you know?
Right.
And it's like, so often we see people operating in their gifts and in abilities that we admire and seem attractive to us, that we go around trying to be people mm-hmm. that we were not designed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, okay, and now... where now everybody else loses the benefit of what you were supposed to bring to the table because you're busy trying to look, act, and behave like someone else, right? That's like me trying to be Aichi.
Mm-hmm.
It would be unproductive.
Mm-hmm.
That's like Aichi trying to be Tamika.
Mm-hmm.
That would be unfruitful.
Right.
Because she should be concerned with being the best version of her.
Right.
And I should be concerned with being the best version of myself.
And then that breeds frustration. Like,
right.
Because you know, or you may not know, may not realize that's the core of it. But it's like you're not being authentic to who you were designed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like an anger and it's a frustration, which actually segues into my first point. So
mm-hmm.
in the very beginning of the book, there's a story. I'm going to warn you, it's a little long, but I really want to read it. I don't want to summarize and not do it justice. So I'm going to read it to you. It's like the opening story. It was the moment for which everyone had been waiting all evening. The thunderous applause of the excited crowd filled the air after the mayor made the announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to present the annual Outstanding Citizen of the Year Award to Dr. Clyde Wilson Jr. for his distinguished service to this community. A well-built, clean-cut young man rose to his feet and walked confidently toward the stage. Sitting at the table he had left were his father, Mr. Clyde Wilson Sr., and his mother, Emily. This was the moment for which they had waited all their lives, to see their son become all they had envisioned for him. As pride filled their hearts, they knew that no one in the room could understand their sense of accomplishment, satisfaction, and fulfillment. Mr. Wilson had always dreamed of being a medical doctor. While his son was still quite young, the father had told him that he would do whatever it took to see that the son could become the doctor the father had never been. Young Clyde's parents had labored at many jobs over the years and had lived without the conveniences of life just to make it possible for their son to attend medical school and to complete his internship. This evening made those sacrifices worthwhile, as Clyde Jr. now brought honor and respect to the family. As Dr. Wilson stood on stage holding the plaque, the crowd rose to their feet. Cameras flashed and the shouts of adulation filled the room. Then, as the applause subsided, silence filled the room. Everyone waited for the response of the good doctor. For a moment, he stood erect, poised to speak. Then, his composure broke, and with tears flooding his eyes, the young doctor pleaded with his parents in a loud voice that mirrored the despair in his eyes. "Please, Mom and Dad, forgive me. I'm sorry, but I can't go on." Bewildered and embarrassed by the moment, the chairman helped the doctor off the stage. The crowd stood in questioning shock. What could possibly be stealing this great moment from this successful individual? As Clyde and his parents drove home that evening, Clyde attempted to explain to his perplexed parents the cause of his uncontrollable behavior. As his words spilled over one another, he tried to describe the frustration that had built within him over the past 10 years. "Everything I have accomplished and achieved during these years has been done to please you, Dad, and to fulfill your lifelong dreams. I've become what you wanted me to be, but I've never became who I was," he said. "In spite of all the cars, homes, and other material things I have now, my life is empty. I never wanted to be a doctor like you, Dad. In truth, I hate being a doctor. I always wanted to be a musician, but you and Mom would not allow me to follow my dream. Please understand, I love and respect you deeply. I know all you have sacrificed to provide me with my education, and I thank you for that. But tonight I realized that I cannot continue living to fulfill your dreams and expectations. I must start to fulfill my own. When I accepted that award tonight, I felt like a hypocrite. Someone I don't even know earned that award because I don't know myself. I want to live. I want to come alive. I want to be what I was born to be. Please set me free and let me live."
Wow.
How many people are living like that? Trying to live up to somebody else's expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, 10 years. 10 years.
Wow. When he said, "When I accepted that award tonight, I felt like a hypocrite. Someone I don't even know earned that award because I don't know myself."
Mm. I thought about sharing that because as we were saying, Tamika, about, you know, just comparing ourselves to others and not focusing on our own purpose and understanding that our purpose is specific to us. Right. Like, even when it comes to your parents, and we talked about this in the Limitless Parenting episode.
Right.
In season one, of trying to live vicariously through your children. And as a new mom, my little one will be two, understanding that he has similarities, you know, like me, like his dad. I mean, I even see his granddad in him, you know, his grandmother. But it's like he has his own personality. He has his own, like, characteristics. Like, I see those things in him. And it would be foolish of me to try to twist those to my desire or what I think he should be. Like, because I was just, like they say, you know, you're just the male lady. Like, right. Yes, I carried him, but his purpose preceded me.
Right.
Even right. As the parent. Like, yeah. His purpose, you know, didn't come into play just because, or, you know, once I got pregnant. Like, that's, a whole deeper conversation. But his purpose preceded me.
Right.
And so when you understand that, it's like you'll be okay with who you are.
And nobody will be able to tell you that you're to this or to that or not enough of this and not enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you understand that principle, you understand that everything about your design is specific to your purpose. So if you tend to be more quiet natured and more of a thinker and more of, you know, just when you consider like how you process information or how you communicate, all of those things are in support of your purpose, right? To help you fulfill your purpose. They're needed for your purpose. And so it would be silly and, like H.E. was saying, disrespectful for you to try to now become someone else because somebody told you, oh, you're too quiet, mm-hmm. or oh, you're too loud, mm-hmm. or oh, you need to learn how to speak up, mm-hmm. you know? And I do think that there's an element of this where you have to find the balance of things.
Right, right.
You know?
Absolutely.
Because even a quiet-natured person, they need to be able to speak up when it's time to do so.
Right.
Right. And also somebody that may have a bigger or louder personality, mm-hmm. there's a time for that. And then there's a time for you not to do that, for mm-hmm. you to be quieter and for you to be listening, mm-hmm. you know, and taking it in. So, mm-hmm. and I think that happens along the way as you travel your journey, mm-hmm. right? Find mm-hmm. out the balance. And the wisdom is applied.
That's what I was going to say. The wisdom that's applied to your traits and your personality.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with you. Mm-hmm. What you are is specific to your purpose.
Right. And it will fuel your personality, your traits. It will fuel your purpose. Oh, another point he said, what you are and how you are was predetermined by why you are, which goes back to what you said, Tamika.
Right.
About how it precedes production.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one of the main differences of how Dr. Monroe explains purpose, one of the main differences of how he explains purposes and purpose in this book versus how a lot of other people talk about purpose is that he sends you back to your creator, as we said.
Mm-hmm.
And sends you back to your manufacturer.
Right.
So I've mentioned this before, but it's like if I want to know the purpose of how or the purpose of my iPhone or how it works or, you know, the functions of it, I'm not going to go to Samsung and ask.
Right.
I'm not going to go, you know, to LG and ask them.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go to Apple.
Right.
Because Apple is the one who created the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it is impossible for you to really, truly, I believe, know the depth of your purpose, the depth of why you were created, the depth of what you're really supposed to be doing unless you go, you know, to your creator.
Right.
To the one that's responsible for you even existing.
Right.
Because who else can really tell you?
Who else is qualified?
Right.
Nobody.
No.
That's why it's dangerous for us to accept other people's opinions of us. Because only your manufacturer knows what he put inside of you, his product.
Right.
Right. Even just the statement, I am a product of God. Mm-hmm. That should be encouraging to you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That God thought that you were needed, right? And so much so that he took the time to design and make you, right? Mm-hmm. You mentioned the iPhone, right? Mm-hmm. And so when Steve Jobs created the iPhone, I imagine him sitting down and writing down a list of functions mm-hmm. that he wanted the iPhone to be able to perform.
Right.
Before, you know, any screen was developed, before he right. decided what the buttons would look like, before he decided where, you know, the power button was going to be located. I imagine him sitting down, writing a list of all the things he wanted this phone to be able to do. Right. And on that list, let's say that I want this phone to be able to take pictures. Right. So in order for the phone to take pictures, it has to have a camera built right. in the phone.
Right.
But it would be out of order for Steve Jobs to demand that the iPhone take pictures without a camera.
Right.
So let's say on that list, he's like, okay, I want this phone to be able to play music. So that means that I need to build a speaker in this phone so that it can fulfill the function of playing music, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about that in the context of you being a product of God, whatever God, whatever function God has designed you to perform, the ability is already in you. Because he can't require you to do something that he has not built you for.
That's good, Tamika. That's
so good. When you're wondering, like, can I do it? Am I enough? Mm-hmm. Will I make it? The answer to all of those questions are yes.
Right.
Because that is what you were designed for.
Right.
It's on the inside of you. Nobody can take that away. Nobody can remove it. Mm-hmm. Now, if you allow people, they can talk you out of pursuing it.
Right.
But the ability for you to perform that function is
there
inside of you. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
To add to that, he said, purpose dictates performance, which influences satisfaction. Thus, purpose is the key to fulfillment. Associated with, am I enough? Can I do it? They said I can't. I'm not good enough. You have a feeling of just of unfulfillment. We talked about this in our episode, My Unfulfilled Life. Go back and listen to that. Mm-hmm. But the feeling of unfulfillment, of despair, of emptiness, of brokenness. But it's like the minute you start changing your thinking about who you are, whose you are, why you are, and what you're supposed to be doing and putting out there in the earth, it's like something lights up in you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like literally you have feelings of accomplishment. You're happy. You're excited. You know, it gives you an excitement, you know, to wake up in the morning. It gives you an excitement of, okay, it's something deep down that's saying, I am doing what I am supposed to be doing.
Right.
And I remember hearing him say, I don't know if it's in this book or not, but I remember hearing him say that most people fear death because they know it is something they have not completed.
Right.
Deep down, it is, yes, the fear of the unknown, but deeper right. than that, it's like, it's something I know I was supposed to do that I have not done yet.
Right.
Whether you're really in touch with it or not, it's there.
Right.
It's like, what have I done? Anybody on their deathbed or close to death, it's like, they'll tell you the essential things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not the money. It's not the right. cars. It's not the trips. Right. It's not the clothes. It's not any of that.
Right.
It is, what have I done with the life that I was given? Who right. have I impacted? How did I treat others?
Right.
Like,
right.
those are the essentials.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our bodies, because they age, will break down at some point. Okay, you're not going to always be young and vibrant with an exuberant amount of energy. It's not going to always be that way. I mean, even me now at 36, almost 37, honey, okay, I can tell the difference.
Things change, right?
Listen, I like my daily to-do list has been cut in half. I don't know if it's just the age. I don't know if it's the age with the toddler. Like, I don't know. Right. But it's like my energy, I have become so protective of the energy that I exude. Like,
right. Because it's precious to you, right?
Like, man, listen, because at a certain yeah. time of the day, I know it's gone.
Right.
So I right. literally have to be like really careful about, okay, do I need to answer this phone call right now?
Right.
Like, not that I'm being rude or disrespectful, but I can't put the energy out to this right now.
Right.
I have to put this energy toward that. And this phone call, even if it's not, it may not even be, you know, a negative phone call, just an unexpected call or something that I know is going to take more than 2 or 3 minutes. I can't put energy to that right now because I have A, B, C, D. And I can't, you know, at the end of my life say, well, the reason why I didn't do this, this, and this is because I got this phone call and I was tired. You know, I had to go do this and I got exhausted. And we can get caught. You can get caught up in the everyday mundaneness of just operating life. It's easy.
Absolutely.
It's easy to get caught up in chores and just, you know, if you work a job, working and just the everyday life operation. That's exhausting in itself.
You could do nothing and get caught up in that way of thinking and that way of living and never get disrupted in that, mm-hmm. right? Like you could be comfortable mm-hmm. in that, right? That's one reason why we have this podcast, is because anybody that has gotten tired of that and is trying to answer that yearning within themselves, like, there's got to be more than this, mm-hmm. right? When mm-hmm. you discover that, and when that thought just won't let you go, mm-hmm. it's a hard thing to take that journey to find yourself, mm-hmm. right? And to discover yourself, to discover your purpose. It's not an easy thing. It's not an overnight thing. Like, it's something that you have to stay committed to. And so when we talk about our passion and the drive for this podcast, it's because we know that, mm-hmm. we recognize that, and we want to offer as much support to you
right.
while you're traveling that journey as we can. You know what I'm saying? Because it can be lonely. Mm-hmm. It can be discouraging. It can be really hard. Mm-hmm. But when you've made a commitment to that, the best thing that you can do is stay committed to that. Even when it gets hard, even when it gets weary, because there are times where you're going to feel like, okay, this is not all added. Like, I know this, but I don't know this. And mm-hmm. it's not all coming together. Mm-hmm. Like, stay the course.
Yeah.
Stay the course.
Yeah. I agree. And you're not alone. That's the biggest thing. You know, when you're on this journey, sometimes you feel like you're alone. Like before I started listening to podcasts, and like before it was popular, and you know, it's sometimes you think you're alone, and you think that, you know, no one else is dealing with this, and this is hard, and like, you are not alone. And we always say, we have not arrived. Okay. It's just
right.
like our intro always says, we share what we know and what we're currently learning. We are always currently learning, because it is a full-time journey. And your road to satisfaction, because everyone is searching for that, okay? I don't care.
Right.
That's universal. Everybody wants to feel wanted. They want to feel needed. They want to feel purposeful. Like, every single person wants to feel that way. And you don't feel that way when you're not operating in the manner in which you were born. So here's an example. So Rio is like one of the favorite movies in the house right now, right? So Rio 1 and 2, my husband always jokes with me. He's like, you like that movie more than he does. And I think I kind of do, because listen, those cartoons, they don't really be for kids. I mean, they are, because it's like colors and singing.
Yeah.
But like, when you are really watching it, it's like concepts. Like, you didn't really get that concept at 2. Like,
right.
because I didn't catch it until the fifth time I saw it. So
right, right. But they're loaded with stuff. Like, if you're paying attention,
loaded.
It's like, that's a lesson. That's a lesson.
Yeah,
that's a lesson.
It yeah. is. And like, for instance, I remember like on, I think it was part one. Yeah, it was part one. For those of you who've seen Rio. Okay. So it was Rio part one. And Blue, the main character bird, the blue macaw, Blue, he didn't know how to fly, because mm-hmm. he was raised, you know, he was kidnapped from Rio by some smugglers, and the box that was transporting him to these people who were going to sell him off and kidnap him or whatever, that fell off. And so an owner found him, and he kind of grew up with her. So he had a very domesticated life. So I mean, he grew up like a human, so to speak. So he didn't know how to fly. You know, he was listening to iPads and iPods. He was making pancakes for breakfast, like a bird, right? So
right.
make a long story short, he had met a bird, and they end up, you know, liking each other or whatever. And she didn't know he couldn't fly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what do you mean you can't fly? You're a bird. Like, what are you talking about? He was like, not every bird knows how to fly. So he commences to name the different birds that don't know how to fly, because he was like really intellectual, right?
Yeah.
And so when he learned how to fly, it's like, that is when he came alive.
Yeah.
And they portrayed that in the movie. It's like,
right,
this is what I've been missing.
Right.
Like, all right. this time, I thought I was living the life.
Right.
I was living with this human owner, you know, every morning we have our cup of hot chocolate with exactly 6 marshmallows in it. You know, we had our bookstore, our morning routine. I had my little maze thing, whatever I created. And, you know, we traveled together and we had fun. And man, I thought I was living the life. I didn't have to be outside in the cold with the rest of those birds. But it's like, man, this is what I've been missing. Like,
right.
This was why I was created. Like,
right.
That, man, that was, what was that life?
And all those things were good and comfortable, right?
That's it.
Hot chocolate isn't a bad thing. You know, pancakes aren't a bad thing. But
right.
I think sometimes we get caught up in life with the good stuff and not what's best, right? And it's like, because it's not a bad thing, we kind of talk ourselves into settling when we really should be flying, you know what I'm saying? It's soaring. And it's like, but you settle for walking.
You don't know no better. Or you can still get around, but that's not
right.
how you're supposed to do this thing.
Right. Right.
And you know, he talks about that too. I'm glad you brought that up. He talks about the difference between good versus right.
Right.
Like, what is, this may be good, but it is it the right thing? And when you know your purpose, and then, you know, getting into vision, when you understand your vision, which is purpose in colors, purpose in pictures, you know, of where you're supposed to go in life, you know what to say no to.
Right.
So when your yes is known, you can know what should be no.
Right.
So when I, let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something.
Tell us, girl. Tell us. Y'all can't see HE, but I can see HE. This is getting ready to be good. Go ahead, girl. Go ahead.
Let me tell y'all something. When I learned this, okay.
Yeah. Can nobody tell you nothing?
Not only could you not tell me nothing, meaning I stopped allowing myself to get pulled in so many directions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's the quick story of it. It's like, I didn't even know, you know, the full picture, which I don't know if you ever kind of really know, like, the fullness of it. You know what I mean? You kind of,
right.
I believe God
right.
shows you a little bit. He don't show you all of it because you'll get scared and be like, never mind. Sorry, pause. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's like you get shown bits and pieces. And, you know, as you move along, then things open up more. But I had just kind of, I had just got to the point where I was really learning. I finished this book and I was really learning about myself and really finally appreciating really who I was and why, you know, how, you know, I was created and how God created me and all this stuff. And it's really, you know, mapping out some things for my life. And before, anytime somebody would call with a quote unquote good opportunity, okay, I got a good opportunity for you, okay?
Right.
I would say, oh, you know what? All right, that sounds good. Let's go. And when I learned this principle, I said, you know what? That may be a good, they were not lying. This is a good opportunity, but is it the right opportunity for me and where I am in my life and where I am going?
Right.
Because
right.
just like the story I read, it is good being a doctor, right? It's good.
Right.
You can help people. You know, you can, you know, save people's lives, you know, highly esteemed position. People respect you, good salary. Like, this is good stuff. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
But he wanted to be a musician. So he was a miserable doctor. Want
right.
to be a musician.
Right.
Do you want a miserable doctor performing surgery on you?
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Like, do you want somebody who wants to be a musician
right.
performance surgery on you.
Right.
Of course you don't.
Right.
And it's like, I just stopped allowing, because of my personality, I'm a people person by nature. You know, Tamika's known me most of my life. That this is consistent as to who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But because people know that about me, they try to pinpoint what I need to be doing. When really it benefits them, that's a whole nother story.
I was going to say that, and that's because it's personally beneficial to them.
Yes.
Not necessarily for you.
Exactly. And it's like, I had to stand up and say, you know, I really appreciate, you know, you thinking about me, but this does not line up with where I'm going in my life. And even though it may be a great opportunity, it's not right for me right now. And no harm, no foul, no disrespect, like none given. Like, I really appreciate you thinking it highly of me. I just have to keep my eye on what I'm supposed to be doing and perfecting who I am and continuing to discover who I am. And those are interruptions and distractions.
Right.
But the thing is, like, when you don't know, you know, who you are and why you are, you know, people will dangle shiny things in front of you and you'll snap at it because it's shiny things. But when you realize it's not about the shiny stuff.
Right.
I remember it was a bumper sticker I read years ago. It said, "The one who dies with the most toys wins." That ain't true. That's right. The biggest lie ever been told.
That's some foolishness.
That's what I'm saying.
Who printed that up?
Right. I was invited to this women's leadership group, and I was invited to speak. And I spoke, and went well. Ladies enjoyed it. And afterwards, while I was speaking, it was a small group. I saw this lady like gleaming at me, and I'm like, okay, you know, sometimes you get different reactions from people as you're speaking. Afterwards, she tells me, "I need to talk to you. Boy, do I have plans for you." And it was an older woman.
Yeah.
And I looked and I just smiled and I said, because I know who I am. Right. Like, years ago, I would have, you know, flocked to that because it would have been like, oh my gosh, she sees something in me. That's another thing. When you don't know who you are, you always looking for a sign. You look at somebody, say, oh, you should do this. Yeah. And you think it's a revelation.
Right. Okay. Stay looking for a sign, child. Stay looking for like some level of validation.
That's
right?
What it is.
And when you're empty, you need that.
Right.
And you try to get full off that when you're
mm-hmm.
empty.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're already full, because you know who you are, it's like, that's not attractive to me.
No, it's not. And I'm thinking, I got a little offended, and then I had to catch myself. I'm like, who are you to tell me what plans you don't know, but you're not about to, you're just gonna craft out my life. You don't, woman, you don't know me. All this went through my head, right?
Right.
Hey, she, calm down.
Right.
Bring it down. It just is what it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? But and what it was, she is a part of an organization, another organization, and they're looking for like young Black professionals, young Black women professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And the area that I live, it's not a lot of us. So it's like she got excited. Like, I found a young African-American girl who's like on fire. Like, man, we could use her. So I understand where it came. Once I brought myself down, remember we talked about in the other episode, capturing your thoughts, being self-aware.
Right, right.
So once I brought myself down, like, AG, relax. It's like, she just got excited.
Right.
You know, but I knew what she wanted, and I knew that wasn't for me. So I knew how to tactfully, you know, decline the offer. But
right.
When you don't know that, and like I said, years ago, I would have been like, man, she sees something great in me, and, you know, I need to do this. And if what her offer was lined up, you know, to my purpose and my vision for life, then I would have absolutely taken her up on it.
Right.
But
right.
Because it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't know your yes, you don't know what to say no to.
Right. Right. And the other thing that understanding these principles helped me with was, number one, how to view and see myself.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, how to view and see others. Right. Because if these things are true about me, then they're also true about everybody else, which allowed me to operate with a higher level of compassion for people.
Yeah.
When it came to how people live their lives, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And the mistakes that they make.
Yeah, Tamika.
The choices that they make, you know, and really just how to be a support to the people around me and understand, like you said earlier, all of us are in search for the feeling of value, significance, feeling like we matter, feeling like we have something to contribute. And when we don't have that, you would be surprised how people choose to live their life when that is absent from them.
Man, purpose is the answer to the world's problems.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, when you peel back the layers, it is the answer. So something else that he says in his book is, he says, ignorance. It is the most destructive force this world knows. It causes wars, poverty, fear, and worry. It also destroys the lives of millions of people. Deadlier than any force of evil, ignorance is the number one enemy of life. So that is why, like I said, I think that purpose really, truly, when I really thought about it, is the answer to the world's problems. So again, the overarching purpose of our podcast, we always say, develop yourself. If you looked at our website, it says, sustain your dreams, develop yourself. Because you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And a lot, I didn't know that I wasn't operating in my purpose. I didn't even know it was such a thing.
Right.
I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know what it looked like. I mean, you know, you still learn every day, but it's like constantly trying to learn, grow, like even in within your purpose, your whatever you're doing, like that is the overarching thing. Don't allow ignorance to steal your life from you.
Right.
And that can mean really steal your life, that you are like dead and no longer, or it can mean steal your life and now you're 75, 80 years old, you can't do anything, and you just, you have to just sit all day and you're not physically able to do anything, and now you're miserable because your life, your energy has been stolen because of ignorance.
Right. Like an empty existence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So I think we have ranted long enough, Tamika. What do you think?
I think so.
And guys, this abbreviated is an understatement. Like,
right, right.
These are just like little small snippets. Like, I had a little issue. I was texting Tamika. I'm like, this topic is so broad. This book is so rich. I want to just sit and read the whole book on the podcast. I mean, of course, we know this
right.
can happen. But it's like, it's just so many nuggets. Like, you get, I'm telling you, you will highlight the whole book. I am telling you, like, it's inevitable. So go get the book. Okay.
Please, please. And if there are several things that we hope that this podcast inspires you to do. But one of those things is to start reading if you're not a reader. And then continue to read if you're already a reader.
Right.
And so this is a book that is worthy of your attention. I promise you. I promise you it will change your life.
Yeah. Go to Amazon. You can go to our website, www.behindthiswoman.com, under Books We Love. It's there. It's called Unleash Your Purpose by Dr. Miles Monroe. And I can't say enough about it. And like a word to those who may not, you know, be huge readers, chunk it down. Like, don't get overwhelmed because, you know, if you're not used to reading, sometimes you can get overwhelmed if you see a book and it appears thick. Okay. So just chunk it down. Like, if it's starting off reading, you know, 2 or 3 pages at night, or when you go to the bathroom, or you know what I'm saying? Like, seriously, let's just be for real. Like, wherever you have a little pocket of quiet time, squeeze in a page or two. You know, you may not chunk the book down in a couple of weeks. Like, that's okay.
Right.
But allow yourself that grace to read at your pace and to learn at your pace. Because if you're not used to reading, then it may be, you may have a problem or a challenge with digesting the information just until you build up that tolerance. So that's a real thing. So get the book.
Yeah. So don't let the idea of that be overwhelming to you, and so much so that you don't do anything. Just even if it's just, okay, I'm going to commit to reading 10 minutes a day. Right. And then once that is no longer a thing and you're like, oh, that was easy, like increase it to 20 or 30 or whatever the case may be, but just get started.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that you will experience some benefits in your life.
It's one of my favorite quotes says, you will be the same this time next year. You will be the same person that you are today, besides the people that you meet or the books you've read. And I'm going to add to that, you will be the same person or worse.
Right.
Because you don't improve when you do nothing.
Right.
Literally, it you leave anything to itself and it will decline.
Right.
If you're not improving it. So,
because as you stand still, life is still moving forward.
That's it.
So you're really moving backwards.
That would be correct. And guys, know that we're not like being hard on you. Everything that we are talking about, we have experienced, are experiencing, like,
right.
Like everything that we talk about on here, trust that we have gone through it. Are going through it. what I mean? Like, we're tested on everything that we talk about.
Right.
And that's just kind of how life works. That's another topic for another day. So anyways,
yeah.
Guys, thank you for rocking with us.
It's been wonderful.
it's been great. Thank you guys for tuning in, as always. And we will see you on the next episode. Bye for now.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to Behind This Woman podcast. If you have any questions, show topics you'd like us to discuss, or just want to say hi, shoot us an email at behindthiswoman@gmail.com. Catch up on past episodes and sign up for our newsletter and self-discovery questions by visiting our website, www.behindthiswoman.com. You can also follow us on Instagram to keep up with our latest activities, adventures, and giveaways at Behind This Woman. Our podcast can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and Podomatic. So if you've enjoyed this episode, please do us a favor and rate, comment, and subscribe. This allows others to easily find our content. Thanks again for listening. See you next week.